You're listening to PetLifeRadio.com.
It's O-Behave with Arden Moore, the show that teaches you how to have harmony in the household with your pets. Join Arden as she travels coast to coast to help millions better understand why cats and dogs do what they do. Get the latest scoop on famous faces, their perfectly pampered pets, and who's walking who in Rin Tin Tinseltown. From famous pet experts and best-selling authors to television and movie stars, you'll get the latest buzz from wagging tongues and tails, garner great pet tips, and have a doggone fur-flying fun time. So get ready for the pause and applause as we unleash your O-Behave host, America's pet edutainer, Arden Moore.
Welcome to the O-Behave Show on Pet Life Radio. I'm your host, Arden Moore. All right, this show is rated R for riotous, revealing, and yes, a little bit risque. That's because on today's show, we're going to talk about sex. Yep, you heard it, sex. Now, we're not referring to the truth about the birds and the bees. We're talking about the truth about cats and dogs and sex. Our special guest is Dr. Bernadine Cruz, a veterinarian who's sort of like the pet's version of Dr. Ruth. Welcome to the show, Dr. Cruz.
Well, I think it's a bit more like Dr. Woof instead of Woof. Ruth, but
okay.
Yes.
Woof, that's very good. You know, you wrote a must-read book called The Secret Sex Life of Dogs and Cats. I know, listeners, you're intrigued. I know you really are. Well, guess what? You're just going to have to sit and stay, and we'll be right back after this commercial break.
Time for a pause. Four furry ones, actually. Sit and stay. O-Behave will be right back.
Greetings, human. What planet am I on?
Welcome to Pet Planet. Here's a copy of Pet Planet magazine, Florida's most informative and fun pet resource magazine. It features heartwarming stories and informative articles from local and national pet experts.
Excellent.
Pet Planet magazine offers Operation Planet Rescue, helping rescued pets find new homes. And it's available at 500 locations in South and Central Florida and 24/7 on the internet at PetPlanetMagazine.com. If you're out and about with your pet, you may be featured in Paparazzi, candid pictures of you and your pet. For up-to-date pet-friendly events, activities, and pet-related services and products, Pet Planet Magazine is your final destination.
I shall take this magazine home with me.
Back to your home planet?
No, to my condo in Boca.
Pet Planet Magazine. Check them out at www.petplanetmagazine.com or 352-394-8578. It's out of this world.
Want to know what cats like to eat for breakfast? Mice Krispies, of course. Learn everything there is to know about cats on Catitude with your host, Tom Doc. Each week, we'll spotlight a cool cat breed, give up-to-date advice on cat health, and check out spiffy new cat products. So curl up on the couch every week for a perfectly enjoyable time on Catitude. Every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com. O-Behave is back with more tail-wagging ways to achieve harmony in the household with your pets. Now back to your fetching host, America's pet edutainer, Arden Moore.
Welcome back to the O-Behave Show on Pet Life Radio. I'm your host, Arden Moore. We have our special guest today, the very talented, amazing, and knowledgeable Dr. Bernadine Cruz. She's a veterinarian who practices in Laguna Hills, California. And you all are probably very familiar with her because she's on our sister radio show, The Pet Doctor Show on Pet Life Radio. You know what? It's a real treat to have you on my show. I can call you Dr. Bernadine, can I?
Oh, very definitely. Yes, I'm a little on the twisted side because who else has ever written a book about pets and sex? And believe me, when I was doing the research for this book, I thought, okay, I need to go through and see if there's any books on this subject. So I sat there on Amazon.com going through all the books that were written about pets, and I didn't see anything. I thought, okay, I better make sure I'm putting in all the key words. So I put in the words pets and sex. Believe me, listeners, you do not want to do that because you come up with some really bizarre sites that you want to have blocked from your own view and especially that of your children.
I guess that's the ultimate in kitty porn, right?
Very good. Yes.
I can tell
we're going to have fun today.
Can you imagine somebody like cleaning out your computer or something, you know, like a computer guy from like Make It Work or something going, what kind of bookmarks are you having there, the good doctor?
It was a lot of fun. The reason I came up with this, because people know very little sometimes about their own sexuality. They seem to know even less about their pets. And sometimes it's important to know what's going on under the fur.
Well, I think that's a very good point. I mean, there are people that blush when you just say the word sex, and everybody thinks, oh, my dog's been spayed or neutered, you know, why don't we even have to worry about checking under the hood? But this book, you've done it with class, though, I must say, you know, The Secret Sex Lives of Dogs and Cats, you don't know how it's going to be written, but you maintain your dignity throughout, even though there's been some pretty unusual questions. So tell me a little bit about your take on what is it about us? So we just think spay and neuter, that's it. But we do have questions, but we never ask them about our pets.
I think people are, as you mentioned, are embarrassed to talk about sex. You know, talking to your own doctor is one thing, but talking about the pet to your veterinarian can be a little embarrassing. You know, all of a sudden you have a pet that is making mad, passionate love to its teddy bear. It's like, okay, is there something wrong that I did that the pet is doing this? And sometimes just, you know, that's a very normal behavior for them to have. Because one of the first behaviors that a pet will have, a cat, well, probably more so a dog, is when they're in their litter situation, they're trying to figure out who's top puppy. So one of the ways they do that is to kind of jump on each other, have that little bit of a pelvic thrust. And it's not that they're overly sexed as puppies. This is just the way that they show their dominance and top dog status. I could tell with my own dogs, I had a black lab who was getting older and older, and then a little Pomeranian by the name of Juanita. And when Durham got so old that he just was losing his status as being the top dog, he couldn't maintain it. One day I noticed this going, nah, I didn't see that. Juanita, as Durham was laying down, started doing the pelvic thrust on him. And that was her way of saying, okay, I'm taking over. So
I'm the top B. Obvious. My name is Juanita.
Juanita, wow. Yes. Juanita took over. She was a little hot kid who says, I'm now in charge. Step aside.
Talking about the teddy bear, I think that's a good thing because you see sometimes on TVs and movie shows where they have this little fun little moment where a dog is humping something. And people all laugh because they're embarrassed a little bit. But I do appreciate you explaining the little teddy bear sex secret. You know, I guess there's no Victoria's Secret for dogs out there, but the teddy bear is a good one because it kind of looks like another pet, right? Looks like another dog or something.
It's a good size. You know, it has four limbs and it's squishy and soft and it's kind of fun. The real problem comes when a dog starts doing it to a person. And they're trying to show that they're top dog, and you with this Behave, you know, chime in anytime you want to, that this is very inappropriate for them to do. So right. Instead of giggling and laughing, etc., I think it's a great time to tell them, no, sit, stay. And if anyone's going to do it to anyone, I'm top dog and I'm going to be doing it to you. Of course, that's all figurative.
Right, right. And you do make a good point. Behavior-wise, we can actually make things worse by letting this inappropriate behavior continue, and the dog needs something to do, and the dog needs to know how he ranks in the hierarchy, which is always behind everybody with two legs.
Mm-hmm. And yeah. Even if it's a very young child, they have to rank behind that child, which is tough
right.
When the dog was the firstborn child in the family.
Right. Well, I want to tell the listeners how you've kind of mapped out this book. It's called The Secret Sex Lives of Dogs and Cats. It's got a really cute little cover, and it's a purple
a cat
cover.
House.
Don't worry. It's not in a brown paper wrapper, but you have several chapters. They're broken down to seven different chapters. I love the titles like Courting the Beast Within and The Patter of Little Paws and Snip and Tuck. And, you know, what you've done is collected a lot of stories and queries that folks have asked you in your practice, correct?
And some of them are a bit queer besides being queries, yes. Actually, a lot of these questions were asked to me, but many of them I also collected from my colleagues throughout the United States. So I sent out letters to just tons of veterinarians throughout the United States saying, okay, when we get together as a group at our meetings and conferences, it never seems to fail that somebody says, oh my goodness, you wouldn't believe it. I had somebody who walked in today who is asking me, and one that I love that kind of got me going on this book. They had a male Siamese cat. And as we know, male Siamese cats very frequently, or Siamese in general, will have crossed eyes. And the person wanted to know that when this cat was neutered, would the eyes uncross? And the tongue-in-cheek response from this particular veterinarian is, we don't pull that hard, you know. So, no, the eyes are not going to uncross. So, yes, it's kind of like, wow. It makes me wonder sometimes how these people are able to drive, balance a credit card, and very fearfully, these are many of the people who vote for our next president.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's a whole new show we can do, Dr. Bernadine. But I want to let people know also in this book, I mean, these are, I feel like Art Linkletter, who got a little bit risque here. I mean, one of the, you know, you talked about the Siamese cat, but some of the, I'm looking through these questions. Let's see. My dog has been humping my leg since I got his nails trimmed on Saturday. Do you think my groomer poisoned him? That's what you have on page 27. And I'm thinking to myself, people always want to blame someone else, but what does humping a leg have to do with a pedicure?
Well, now it doesn't hurt their leg anymore when they grab on, I guess. But no, there are so many things that pets do that people just have no idea. I've had people come in, specifically it has to do with men. Men coming in going, gee, my dog's not lifting its leg. What's wrong with my dog? And that is very much a learned behavior. So when I explain that, all right, your little dog, male dog, has just never seen another dog do it, so it has to be something that it's somewhat trained to do, or at least observed. I've had several gentlemen, and hopefully it's in the middle of the night, and they have very high fences around their yard. They'll go in the backyard with their little dog, get on all fours, and start lifting their legs so that the dog can go, oh, that's what I'm supposed to do. So, yes, there are no...
Well, you never know. We may have that on a YouTube video that'll probably be posted soon. So, you know, all you have to do is send out that sort of suggestion, and it'll be on YouTube, you know?
Hopefully that'll be blocked. But, yes, you never know.
Well, this is something I think all of us, the listeners may be a little too shy to ask you, so I'm just going to come out and ask you some questions about doggy sex and just the art of mating. People sometimes have misconceptions that, you know, it's like the Lady and the Tramp, that they fall in love and share a little noodle of spaghetti and they're in love forever. But explain really what is the real deal when it comes to the art of mating with one dog, a male and a female. Are they really in love, or is this just a hormonal need?
It is totally hormones. They don't care who they do it with, when they do it. They just need love, and they want it now. So there is even in this book some crazy little pet laws that, you know, dogs in heat have to be kept, you know, away from everyone so nobody can see it, and they can't mate within so many feet of a church and schools. It's like, okay, you know, the easiest thing is to have them neutered. But when they have this lust of hormones, the female is actually the one, kind of like the human species too, who will go ahead and determine, do I like the way you look, and is this a good time for me? But when her hormones are wild, we've seen some crazy mixtures of dogs. You know, something like a Saint Bernard mixed with a Pomeranian is like, huh, okay, that was an interesting mating, and whoever thought of this one, they did, and they didn't care. People will sometimes say, well, my dog is always in the backyard, and I don't need to get this dog neutered because it's just in the backyard, you know, a male dog in particular. And if I have a young male owner in the room with me, I said, okay, it's like you're living next door to a Playboy bunny, and she's in that backyard in the summer. She's in this teeny little bikini, and you can smell that suntan lotion, and you can see her, and she is just hot. And you don't care what happens. You're going to want to go over that fence, under that fence to get to that Playboy bunny. Well, if your male dog is intact and there is a female somewhere in the area, the female with that bloody show releases a scent, a pheromone, that can literally travel blocks. So now that little dog of yours in the backyard and gets this whiff of, oh, de love, and it goes, I want that. I don't know who's putting that out, but I want that. So that dog goes over the fence, under the fence, and it's running down that street trying to find love in all the wrong places. Too many times it's going to find that car and end up smooshed. So another good reason to get that dog neutered.
Yeah, it does kind of curb their need to wander and be a doggy Romeo.
Yes, that wanderlust is definitely decreased. Now, I'll still recommend that female dogs be neutered before their first heat cycle. Because if they're neutered before that first heat cycle, which can be anywhere from about 9 months of age to a year and a half, and every dog's a little bit different, just like every woman is different when they start it to menstruating themselves, these particular dogs, females, you can decrease the chances of breast cancer by 98%, a tremendous amount. So getting that dog neutered early on is a great idea. The caveat to this is if you have some of these breeds that are slower to mature and are very prone to having bone cancer, Rottweilers in particular. They've done studies now and find the bone cancer in Rottweilers is very similar to the bone cancer that we're seeing in teenage males in particular, osteosarcoma. And if these Rottweiler dogs are neutered after they've reached puberty, typically a year and a half to 2 years, you can decrease their chances of getting osteosarcoma by a huge amount. But for those little breeds of dogs, Labradors, etc., still getting them neutered before their first heat cycle, talking females, you can decrease the chances by 98%.
Wow, I had no idea. That is very important information for us to know. We love our pets, and you know that's why we have the good doctor here on our show, Dr. Bernadine Cruz. We're going to talk a little bit more about doggy sex and cat sex and just things that you've always wanted to know but were afraid to ask right after this commercial break.
Time for a pause. Four furry ones, actually. Sit and stay. All Behave will be right back. Pets can be a wonderful addition to your life. Keeping them healthy and happy is important. Pet Life Radio presents The Pet Doctor with veterinary media consultant and veterinarian Dr. Bernadine Cruz. Whether you have a dog, cat, reptile, or rabbit, you'll find answers for your pets straight from the vets. The Pet Doctor, on demand every week, only on PetLifeRadio.com. Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Hi, this is John O'Hurley reminding you you're listening to the O Behave Show with Arden Moore on Pet Life Radio.
O Behave is back with more tail wagging ways to achieve harmony in the household with your pets. Now back to your fetching host, America's pet edutainer, Arden Moore.
Welcome back to the O Behave Show on Pet Life Radio. I'm Arden Moore. We have Dr. Bernadine Cruz. And after the show, I want you all to dash over to the Pet Doctor Show on Pet Life Radio. She also does an amazing job on her show explaining the medical wonders and puzzlements of our companion animals. We're talking to her today, and I've been so excited. We've been waiting forever to get you on our show. She has written an amazing book all of you must dash out and get called The Secret Sex Life of Dogs and Cats, and it's done by Angel City Press. Dr. Cruz, how do we get our paws on this book?
Well, probably the easiest thing to do, since we're all so internet savvy, you can just even go to Amazon.com, find it there. You can go to Barnes & Noble's, they'll usually carry it. And if they don't carry it, they can order it for you. But I do think that besides being kind of fun, I tell people it's a perfect bathroom book because you can put it in the bathroom, read your little page or two, then go on about your way. And, you know, it's talking about sex and it seems kind of bathroom talk. But there's a lot of things, Arden, that people think that are just kind of dirty. One of the questions I received was that a particular pet owner had several Dalmatian dogs, and they were all boys, and all of a sudden they brought in this female, and one of the boy dogs goes over and pees, urinates on this female. It's like, oh my God, this is horrible. How could they do that? You know, kind of golden showers. Well, dogs can't, you know, say, oh, I really like this one. I want her to be my betrothed. So how do they claim their dog? How do they put their mark on it? Yep, they'll pee on it.
Well, that's important. We got to let people know the power of pee. Pee is like the Zorro mark, if you will, for our pets. I'm looking at this book, and I can't believe some of these questions you've actually been asked. Someone asked you the question, my cat is driving me crazy. She keeps going into heat, and while I want to breed her in the future, I don't want her pregnant right now. A friend told me that I can stick a cotton swab in her vagina, and it will stop her from crying all night. Do I need to lube it first?
Say, well, you know, you can. Female cats are what are known as induced ovulators. So they will keep going into heat time after time after time unless they have the act of intromission. So they copulate. It is going to be, and if you've ever seen a female cat breed, they definitely don't have foreplay. The male kind of jumps on, does his thing, grabs the girl by the scruff of the neck, does a couple of pelvic thrusts, and then when he jumps off, many times that female just seems to be a bit enraged, will turn around, smack at him, and then roll around on the ground. Because a intact male, if you've ever looked at an intact male cat's penis, has these little barbs at the end. And these barbs help to stimulate the vagina along with the in and out action that the male is going to be doing to cause her to release eggs. And if she releases eggs, she'll go out of heat. Not necessarily will get pregnant with each of these copulations, but will go out of heat, and then the noise goes away of the female who's just rolling around on the ground and looking for love again. So if you really have a cat that you don't want to breed, yes, you could do the Q-tip routine, but probably the easiest thing to do is take it to your veterinarian. Go ahead, get that kitty spayed. Another thing that goes along with it, and it sounds crazy, if you were to take a cycling cat, female, put her in a closet for probably 18 hours a day, a nice dark closet, that's going to throw her little brain into thinking that it's kind of that winter time of the year when cats go out of heat normally, so she'll go out of her heat cycle. The only problem is when you take her out of the closet and expose her to the real light and dark cycles of our days, she'll go right back into it again.
Well, that's why I think you put in your book why there really aren't Christmas kittens. They're more springtime, right?
Right. Springtime and summertime, because that's when the food supply, if you think back to, you know, the wild animals, you're going to have more food during spring and summer. So if you're going to get pregnant and you're going to deliver, you don't want to do it when there's snow on the ground. It's so hard to find those little mousies when they're hiding underneath that bank of snow.
Other question that's curious. People want to know, is my cat gay or my dog gay? I swear they only like their same-sex pals, or they're acting gay. I mean, what's your take on homosexuality in the world of companion animals?
I actually had to do some research and ask some board-certified veterinary behaviorists and theriogenologists. Now, that's the real fancy term for somebody who studies reproduction in cats and dogs and everything else that has reproductive capabilities. And no, in cats and dogs, there is not homosexuality. Sometimes the behaviors that they have, they may just like one particular animal better than another. But the humping action that they do to each other, again, this is just dominance. There are some species of animals that do have homosexuality, but no, that's not a problem with cats and dogs. And it's not even a problem. It's a very natural, normal behavior, but it's a behavior that they don't exhibit.
Okay. The other question people might have is, and this is hopefully you can put this myth to rest, some people are convinced if they spay or neuter their cat or dog, that all of a sudden they're going to morph up into a furry ottoman. What's the real deal on weight and the connection between weight and having the spay or neuter operation done?
actually, there are some. There are a lot of pros and cons. And yes, when you neuter a pet, they can gain weight because you throw them almost into that immediate menopause or potopause, whatever you want to call it. But for these animals, their metabolic rate, and this is something that's been new. When I was in veterinary school, and it wasn't that many years ago, they just said, what makes them fat is the owner. And the owner still has a lot to do with this. But when a pet, dog or cat, is neutered, castrated, spayed, it decreases their metabolic rate by about a third. Now, the problem comes in when the owners are continuing to feed these, oftentimes fairly young animals who are neutered, continuing to feed them as though they're growing pets. And at that point, usually the only way they're going to be growing is out and not up. So when your pet is neutered, it's very important to realize, they're no longer that kid that's going to be growing in those growth spurts that they were before. You need to monitor how much you're going to be feeding them because their metabolic rate is going to drop. So just because they're cute, just because the bag says that you need to feed this until they're a year, year and a half of age, that is for the young, growing, intact animal. So if your pet is neutered, no, don't feed it that much. You're used to feeding it that much. It's somewhat used to eating that much. But we also know that if they stay on the slim side, you can extend their lifespan by about 15%. So for Labrador, that might be another year and a half to 2 years.
And we love our labs. And you're right. I've had people say, well, I just feed them the same amount. And they take one of these huge plastic whipped cream old bowls, you know, and they scoop it up and they think that's just one cup. I've always tried to encourage people, can you use a real measuring cup and measure out what you're giving your pets? Because then you have a baseline. If the dog or cat starts to pork up, you can at least tell, you know, a veterinarian like yourself, well, this is exactly how much I'm feeding them. And I think that would go a long way. We can actually love them to death with too much food.
We get so used to supersizing our food for ourselves as well as our pets. And sometimes, Arden, you know this, we get so guilty feeling because, I'm having to work so many hours. I come home. I know I should play with a pet. I know I should go for a walk. But, I can't even move myself. So, okay, here's another treat because I feel guilty. You know, it's been in the backyard and, I got to do this errand and this errand. All right, here's another treat. And pretty soon, those treats add up. So instead of giving treats like some of the dog cookies that are out there or kitty treats, try giving for a dog a little bit of carrot or green beans or some fruit. Of course, staying away from grapes and raisins and onions and garlic and macadamia nuts. Save those for yourself.
Well, I'm trying to watch my weight, too, so I'm going to take a pass on those. Another question people have, they get concerned. I actually had a corgi was a, pardon the phrase, the common phrase, a one-ball man, a one-dog, one-ball dog. If you're not mating this dog and you're getting the dog neutered or there's one of their testicles is playing hide and peek, you know, inside, can you explain a little bit about the veterinary concerns when you're getting ready to neuter a dog or a cat that maybe is only one thing dangling instead of two?
Well, actually, just kind of give you a background. When a male or female dog, cat, or human is in the womb, our ovaries, females, are on the inside, but for the males, the testicles start on the inside also, and they need to drop through the inguinal canal. Now, that's that space when you go to the doctor and they say, turn your head and cough, and they put the hand on your groin. That's where the male testicles will come out and go into the scrotum. Well, sometimes you're right. Only one is down. Sometimes maybe it's high up in the flank, you know, so it's kind of peeking in and out through that inguinal canal, but the one that's on the outside for dogs and cats, that's where they're supposed to be. They need to be at a lower body temperature in order to produce sperm. So if you were to neuter, and some people say, well, why don't you just take the one on the outside? It's a little bit cheaper than going in after the one that's on the inside because it's going to take more time to find it. Well, not a good idea because though it's just the one on the outside that produces sperm, if you leave the one on the inside, that particular one doesn't produce sperm because of the higher body temperature, but still continues to produce the hormones. And it is much more likely to develop testicular cancer, and that can spread internally before you ever figure out there's a problem. So if you only have a dog with one down, you may want to give it until it's a year of age. You know, I'll oftentimes shake them a couple times, see if something comes down. But if it doesn't come down at a year of age, go in, get them out, have it neutered, and you specifically don't want to breed that dog because there is a genetic predisposition to this. So why spread it down the line to some other dog? Because whenever you breed a dog, a cat, you always want to spread the best of that particular breed.
That's a very good point, and I appreciate that. And another question people often have is, you know, the cat just had a litter of kittens or the dog had a litter, and my gosh, they all look different. And they're like, what happened here? And what is the answer to that?
The what happened here is that that female dog or cat, again, those hormones took over and says, I don't care who's out there. Oh, okay, another suitor. Let's have a good old time. So in one particular litter, cat or dog, you can have multiple fathers. Now, for the cat, and you think way back when to the lions out in, you know, the savannas, if you had that male lion going through a pride, he would oftentimes kill off, and somehow they can tell, I don't know how, they can tell, ah, this kid's not mine. So they don't want to spend all of those resources raising up a child, an offspring of another suitor, so kills them all off. So now with the female cats, if she has multiples, well, sometimes they can't tell who's the daddy. Most of the time, it's just a matter of that hormonal lust. There's an interesting test. I just came back from the 145th National Convention for the American Veterinary Medical Association. It was held in New Orleans, Louisiana. And there is a test that's been out now for about a year, and they're really promoting this. It is called the Mars Wisdom Panel. So if you have that dog, and right now they're only doing it for dog, that you go, from this particular litter, one looked like a corgi, another one looked like a German shepherd, another one looked like a Pomeranian. How is this possible? And what is in my dog truly? There is a blood test that you can have run, and it will determine the parentage of your dog. So it's a DNA test.
And can it be done just at your veterinary clinic? As you said, a blood test? It's pretty easy
yes.
to do that way? Okay,
well,
and is it expensive?
It's going to vary depending on where you are in the United States. Probably anywhere from about $150 to $200 depending where you are. Your veterinarian will draw the blood sample, then send it into the Mars company. They do the DNA testing there, and then they will send the veterinarian as well as the pet owner the genetic makeup of the pet. And first when I heard about this, I thought, well, this is just kind of cocktail talk. It's fun, but why do we really need to know that it's part Doberman Lhasa Apso? Well, we do know that certain breeds of dogs are genetically predisposed to having medical difficulties. I mentioned Dobermans. Dobermans are prone to having a condition known as von Willebrand's disease, which is a clotting disorder. So if, for instance, I have a pure-blooded Doberman come in to do surgery, I am always going to check to make sure that it's not a von Willebrand's dog, that it is not having this clotting disorder, because if I do surgery and I can't stop the bleeding, not a good situation. But if I have a mix and I don't know that it has this Doberman in it, I may not even think that I'm going to have a problem until I'm in the middle of surgery. So this is a test I think that's going to be a very good baseline for all people that have some of these mixed breed little dogs to have done, so your veterinarian will be more aware of potential genetic problems later on down the line.
I think you're right. I mean, I jokingly call Cleo my mystery mutt, and I think she's a mix of many things. But to really know what she is, you're right, can help me work with my veterinarian better on her ongoing care. She's healthy right now, but who knows? She may be predisposed to something. I think that maybe this test might be the next in the line of how we first put ID tags on our dogs and then we did microchipping. It seems like this is just another tool to help us be better pet guardians.
And especially we know certain breeds of dogs have behavioral issues, not necessarily bad, but if you have a dog that loves herding, keeps pushing the kids from one part of the house to the other part of the house, or it's friends, doggy-wise, or cat even, in the house, that may be because it's part border collie, and it's just
right.
genetically predisposed to doing that. Or if you have a dog that you just cannot get to calm down, gee, maybe it has a little bit of Jack Russell Terrier in it, and that Jack Russell was causing it to bounce off the walls.
That's right. That's right. Or just
so it may not be a bad
dog. Your cup of coffee when you weren't looking, you know?
Exactly.
And had a lot of high octane in that dog. Well, I'm really glad that you got to be on the show. Dr. Bernadine Cruz, listeners, has written the book you got to go get, The Secret Sex Life of Dogs and Cats, and it is done by, what is it, Angel City Press. You can go on to Amazon.com or go check your local bookstore. She has done a book that has been long overdue. It is truly edutaining, as you put in the book, and it answers a lot of questions that we may not want to ask out loud. So that's why I decided to speak before you and ask some of these questions of Dr. Bernadine. But there's much, much more in this book, and every pet guardian on this planet should get this book, because being armed with knowledge just makes us be better to our dogs and cats. Yes, it's rated a little R for risque, but as I said before, it's also R for revealing, and it's just a delight. So, Dr. Cruz, thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you so much. I don't think we made anybody blush, so we did okay.
That's right. And I also want to thank our producer, the very cool Mark Winter, who makes this show possible every week. I want you to go to The Pet Doctor, also on PetLifeRadio.com. That's Dr. Cruz's show. She really knows her stuff. So, until next time, this is your flea-free host, Arden Moore, delivering just two words for all you two, three, and four-leggers out there. Oh, behave!
Coast to coast and around the world, it's Oh Behave with Arden Moore. Find out why cats and dogs do the things they do and get the latest buzz from wagging tongues and tails in Rin Tin Tinseltown. From famous pet experts and best-selling authors to television and movie stars, you'll get great tail-wagging pet tips and have a fur-flying fun time. Oh Behave with America's pet edutainer, Arden Moore. Every week on demand, this is the place for a special paparazzi treat. Only on PetLifeRadio.com.